हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Nahadev from Yudapit.
Okay, chapter 15, Adhyaya Prakashika. The eight major cities, 10 secondary cities arising from contemplation, and obstacles to yoga are described in the 15th chapter. Sardar Darshani 11, 15, 1. Being questioned by Uddhava, Lord Krishna describes the characteristics of the 18 mystic perfections and the particular kind of meditation by which each is achieved. In conclusion, Krishna states that for one who desires to perform pure devotional service to the personality of Godhead, the achievement of these mystic perfections is a waste of time because they distract one from proper worship. All these perfections are automatically offered to a pure devotee, but he does not accept them. Unless used in the yoga of devotional service, these perfections are valueless, right? Like anything else. If it's not used for Krishna, it doesn't have any value. A devotee simply sees that the personality of Godhead is always present everywhere, both externally and internally, and depends completely upon him.
Why would this be necessary to discuss these mystic yoga perfections as such?
And why wouldn't it be?
Because
now we have to be
transcendental,
determined that yes, these are not important.
Oh, so it's at the end we have to repeat and see for sure that that's not.
Yeah, because we've heard the theory and all that, but then when you take it up, then it has to be about that. Yes, it's just about pure devotional service.
So it will be kind of systematically going through the whole thing and then rejecting all it for the sake of devotional service?
That is just whatever may be ones that might not have caught, because karma and jnana have been discussed very strongly, but the yoga system has not. You know, because yoga means what we're doing is yoga, but you have to know which aspects of yoga then are useful. Because otherwise, then all these different things are, you know, would go on. It's just a matter of appreciating that, because it's a lot of times we've heard, okay, he doesn't accept all these things, but we don't even necessarily know the volume of what they are, you know, like that. Because otherwise we think that, you know, our temple worship is very ritualistic when it's not. You know, it's actually very simple. Okay.
Just in order to establish Bhakti Yoga topmost from all different angles?
Yes. Summary of verses 1 to 36, 18 mystic cities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Uddhava, the mystic perfections of yoga are acquired by a yogi who has conquered his senses, steadied his mind, conquered the breathing process, and fixed his mind on me." Because we may think that all these different things, they're, you know, supportive of devotional service, therefore they're very important. But in actuality, then it's only then fixing the mind on Krishna is the purpose of that. Right? So it's not that these produce it. That's what's important to note, is that secondary attributes never produce bhakti. They can be engaged in the service of bhakti or in pursuit of bhakti, but they themselves can never produce bhakti. Right? Does that make sense? They can only be supportive. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, "These cities which appear in the yogi who concentrates his mind are generally obstacles. These cities are described in order to show that one should reject them and concentrate on the Supreme Lord. Yuktasya means steadying the mind. Right? So from our background, we may have never even think about these things. But, you know, from those who know more of the Vedas, then they would hear about these things. So the point is, no, this is to be given up. Like karma is given up, jnana is given up, the yoga is also given up. Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Lord Achyuta, by what process can mixed perfection be achieved? And what is the nature of such perfection? How many mystic perfections are there? Please explain these things to me. Indeed, you are the bestower of all mystic perfections." The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "The masters of the yoga system have declared that there are 18 types of mystic perfection and meditation, of which 8 are primary," right? So Prabhupada mentions the 8. "Having their shelter in me, and 10 are secondary, appearing from the material mode of goodness." Right? Sri Krishna continued. Right, so those take shelter in Krishna, so those are more that we can, you know, how you say, have that connection to Krishna, but even these are to be given up. The other ones are just connected to goodness. Krishna continued, "Among the 8 primary mystic perfections, the 3 by which one transforms one's own body are anima, becoming smaller than the smallest, mahima, becoming greater than the greatest, and lagima, becoming lighter than the lightest. Through the perfection of prapti, one acquires whatever one desires. And through prakamya siddhi, one experiences an enjoyable object, either in this world or the next. Through ishita siddhi, one can manipulate the sub-potencies of maya. And through the controlling potency called vasita siddhi, one is unimpeded by the 3 modes of nature. One who has acquired kama-vasayita siddhi can obtain anything from anywhere to the highest possible limit. My dear gentle Uddhava, these 8 mystic perfections are considered to be naturally existing and unexcelled within this world." Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura writes, "Among the 8, anima, mahima, and lagima are powers concerning the body. Prapti means to attain all desired objects by using all one's senses. Prakamya means the ability to see and enjoy all objects hidden in the earth, which may have been seen or not seen. Ishita means spreading one's power to other jivas. Vasita means not being attached to material enjoyment. Kama vasayita means that one attains the highest limit of whatever one desires. Outpatika means that they are natural and unexcelled in Krishna." Right? So Krishna has all these. And they are always, you know, manifesting in his pastimes. But that's the point, is connecting to Krishna. That's then the point that is satisfying. Having these is not. Krishna has these, then it's there. But serving Krishna, that's the whole point. Yes.
Naturally existing means in Krishna?
Yeah. Unexcelled in me. So naturally existing means that these are potencies that are there. And in Krishna, then there. Because Krishna, he can be small, he can be big, he can be whatever size he wants. Like when he comes out of Brahma's nose as Varaha, is very small. And then he grows up to be his, you know, take up the whole universe, you know. Or Matsya does the same. He's a little dinky little fish like that. You know, please save me, I'm so small. And whatever he puts him into, he becomes that size. Then he has to go until he has to put him in the ocean. Like that. So they're natural in Krishna. You know, they're part of the pastimes, but it's between Krishna and the devotees. Well, you see, the yogi may have these, and are they using them in connection with devotional service? That's the point. That's why they're distractions.
Maharaj, there's a pastime in South India regarding this particular siddhis. One of the Alvars, I don't remember his name, but he had his 3 disciples, and everybody, you know, they were very much perfect in these siddhis. They looted the non-devotees who were envious of the devotees. And with that, they built the Srirangam temple, the defense, the 7 different walls.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how, you know, they were using these siddhis for the...
Yes, yes, they were.
Mm-hmm.
But before Nila left, what happened to those 3 disciples?
That I don't know.
He sent them before him.
Yeah.
He was not going to leave them here after he left.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep that in mind. Because he's there, then everything is being engaged in the Lord's service. But before leaving, he sent them back to Godhead before he left. Because otherwise, then, you know, if they get distracted, they'll just be troubled. Because that's the whole thing, is that's the first point that comes up, is, oh, but these 8 we could use for Krishna. Yeah, but that's the whole point. Oh, why not Varnashram? Why these? You know, why not sitting in the center of five fires? That one's also one of the religious principles. You know what I'm saying? So all these, we just choose which ones we find interesting. Oh, that one could be used for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So what's wrong with that? The point is it's Krishna consciousness that's important, not the secondary aspects. So what we're given, that's what we use. The acharyas, they have these. They don't use them. Because why? Because they want to see what Krishna's plan is. What's Krishna going to do? That's more interesting. Right? In other words, if a certain gentleman had not taken, I think it's one loaf of bread and then fed thousands of people, and then one bottle of wine and then fed those thousands of people, or made a blind man so he could see, or a lame man could walk, or save the centurion's son, would anybody be following that guy?
Probably not.
Good chance no. You know, and the only thing they really respect him for is he died for our sins, so now we can do whatever the hell we want.
That's a good deal.
It's a really good deal. Like, he dies, we do whatever we want.
I mean, it's just, have 2 billion followers.
Yeah, I mean, as far as popular goes, you don't get more popular than that one. But that's the point, is because he shows that then only then they're going to. Like, he goes out there, he goes out, he preaches to these guys. They don't care. Then he tells them, so how did your fishing go today? Lousy. Right? He tells them, now go out there and now you throw your nets. They said, what for? It's you know, the thing, the time, this is the bad time, all this, that, blah. They just argue, and forget it. He says, no, do it. They go out there, throw their nets, they bring in more fish than they've ever seen in their whole life. Now they become his followers. Right? And these are the core disciples. The top. The dedicated. Right? Only will run off at the last minute. The others will run off before. You understand? So that's the whole point, is that's why Krishna's pointing out that when all these things, these mystic cities, the money, the liberation, the intellectual platform, all these are just distractions from devotional service. Because what happened, the living entities in the spiritual world, on the spiritual platform, but they're distracted by the secondary attributes. And that's why they're here. So why would secondary not distract them now? So the point is it's devotion to Krishna. That's the whole point. Because these things, anyway, you can say, okay, though, but how do you get these? We already saw before. It means that yoga process in the last chapter, that's how you get these. It means, you know, first stop your breathing, you know, and then we'll talk. Right? You understand? Then you can meditate. Then you can get the thing. Then you can get like that. So, you know, who's going to be doing that?
No one.
Right? And that you can work it into 10 minutes between, 10:07 and 10, 17, because you have a meeting at 10:20 and, you know, you want to, fix your tie. So I can work in my yoga at that time. Right? Isn't that where it'll come in our, time organizing, whatever we're using these days?
Time management.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, is this going to happen? No. So just don't worry about it.
Maharaj, here it is said that these 8 CDs, they have taken shelter in Krishna.
Yes.
So
because they've taken shelter in Krishna because he's the natural source of them.
They are a person. They are like
everything's a person.
there is a relationship between Krishna and his and the city.
Yeah.
Is it take shelter?
They're all they're you know in the line. Lakshmi's there and Garuda, Hanuman, Vishrakshena, you know, the Shankachakragata Padma, they're all there. You know, when you get out there, then the siddhis are also there. It mentions that when it does the yog peak with Vishnu and that always mentions the yoga siddhis are also there. All these things, like the Vedas themselves, are all personified in Brahma's court. The qualities, let's say, you know, compassion or dutifulness, they're all persons in Brahma's court. Like that. You know, so depending on what's that, all those, the ones that are more practical, things like that, like death personified, he's in Yamaraj's court. You know, Indra will have some others like that, but all the higher, superior qualities, they're all in Brahma's court. Yes.
The one name of Krishna is Yogeshwar.
Yogeshwar, yes, the Lord of all yogis.
But this, we can say that this indicates that we need to take shelter of the origin, energetic.
Means in Krishna.
In Krishna.
And then these, how they manifest in his pastimes and that, then they become wonderful. But otherwise, not like that. Just as a side point, going back to the very opening question of this, but we've already introduced pure devotional service. Why do we need to bring this up? Right? We haven't even gotten past the first. You know, in other words, this group is like when we bring up household life or, you know, sex or, you know, all these things and that are, you know, who's in control.
They're on the list.
It's all on the list. Yeah. It's not a list that we know much about, but as soon as we hear about the list, it's, hey! Ishita, spreading one's powers to other jivas. Yeah, okay.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. Sri Krishna continued, the 10 secondary mystic perfections arising from the modes of nature are the powers of freeing oneself from hunger and thirst and other bodily disturbances. Hearing and seeing things far away.
It's one or two.
Oh, I see. So you weren't interested in the main eight, but the 10, those are, yeah, okay. Yeah, but the thing is when they free themselves from hunger and thirst and other bodily disturbances, they just sit there in yogic trance. Yeah, they don't stay up all night at, you know, Ibiza and like that because they don't get hunger and thirst. Right. Hearing and seeing things far away. That would be good for gossip, right? Now, what is she saying over there? Okay. Moving the body at the speed of the mind. Like that. Uh-oh. She's coming. Gone. Yeah. Okay. Assuming any form one desires. Like, oh, they wore that. Oh, I'll show them what's good.
That's not the main one?
Yes. Entering the bodies of others. That you have to be a little careful about. But some of the, you know, how you say. Dying when one desires. Right, but materialists will never do. This is about, you know, that they've come to the point of where they feel that they're fixed in Krishna. Then they can leave. We'll just not die.
Like
Bhishma Dev. Like that. But we even see is that the citizens of Ayodhya, they had the same city in Dwarka also, wherever the Lord is, they have that. But the point is because they've done all the things, they don't mind going back to Godhead. What's the problem? You know, going from the precot to the apricot, they don't have a difficulty with it. You know, we do, because it's neither apricot or precot. So. We're more working on, let's say, apple or something. You know. Yeah, I said, yeah, not precot, apricot, or kumquat. Yeah, so. Yes. Okay. Witnessing the pastimes between the demigods and the celestial girls called apsaras. Yeah, that would wipe out Netflix, right? Completely executing one's determination and giving orders whose fulfillment is unimpeded.
Well, right? Better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we go back to the beginning? You want to ask your question again? You're good? Okay. Yes. Sri Krishna continued, the power to know past, because we always hear the yogis go up and they get distracted. This is why. Right? Very few make it to meditation on the Supersoul and come to samadhi. Like that. They all take yogic siddhis before that. And then, even they get to that point, then generally you'll see that they'll merge into the Lord. So very few actually go to the other side, understand Him as a person, therefore then give up the Ashtanga Yoga system and take up practical devotional service. So we're being given that which is already beyond the Ashtanga Yoga system. So you just want to make sure that there's not interest. Because you have to have that non-interest. Otherwise, if there's interest, then even on the way back to Godhead, if they take you through all the planetary systems and you go, wow, that looks nice, then they'll drop you off there. You know, it has to be like Gopu Kumar, not interested in anything. Even Mohini Devi Maya Devi herself is worshipping Mohini Devi and says, you want, you know, come and you want to do the worship and all that. He says, no, I'm good. Keeps going. Like that. Otherwise, then, yeah, you'll be there doing the worship.
The list continues. The list still continues.
The list continues. Yes. Sri Krishna continued. The power to know past, present, and future, tolerance of heat, cold, and other dualities, knowing the minds of others, checking the influence of fire, sun, water, poison, and so on, and remaining unconquered by others. These constitute five perfections of the mystic process of yoga and meditation. I am simply listing these here according to their names and characteristics. Now please learn from me how specific mystic perfections arise from specific meditations, and also the particular processes involved. Now here's the part where it gets maybe not as attractive.
The price tag.
Yeah, the price tag, yeah. The eight primary siddhis listed in verses 4 and 5, appearing from the Lord Himself, and the specific form of the Lord that one should meditate upon in order to attain each of them are now described. Sri Krishna continued, one worships me in my atomic form, pervading all subtle elements, fixing his mind on that alone, obtains the mystic perfection of called Lagima. So it's because these cities are in Krishna, therefore meditating on Krishna in this form, only then you can get that. And it says, constantly. Right? Right. So, yeah, fixing his mind on that alone. That was the word. So the whole point is, if you're going to do that, why not just focus it on Braja Krishna and, you know, go back to Godhead? Same work, same endeavor, and you could end up being here being smaller than you already are. You already won 10,000 at the tip of the hair, you don't get much smaller than that, you know, so... One who absorbs his mind in the particular form of the Mahatattva and thus meditates upon me as the supreme soul of the total material existence achieves the mystic perfection called Mahima. By further absorbing the mind in the situation of each individual element, such as sky, air, fire, and so on, one progressively acquires the greatness of each material element. So becoming so great because of all the elements, and then you attain these qualities of these elements by that meditation. So that means it has to be constant, that full absorption. But that's the whole point. What you'll get from that, something temporary. Because as you use it, it's like money. It runs out. Right? So the whole point is, but you use the same focus on Krishna, then that doesn't run out. That's eternal. So you're going to have to put in the same endeavor. You know, it's just like you have to go to work all day. So then you might as well do that connected to Krishna. Then you get that eternal benefit. Money still will run out, but... Does that make sense? Yeah. I exist within everything, and I am therefore the essence of the atomic constituents of material elements. Right? So they're thinking of the, you know, how you say, Vaisheshikas, that are absorbing in this, but they don't understand as Krishna. So they're taking that element of the material of the Vedic philosophy, but then not applying it properly. By attaching his mind to me in this form, the yogi may achieve the perfection called Lagima, by which he realizes the subtle atomic substance of time. Right? So then he becomes very light. Right? Fixing his mind completely in me, within the element of false ego, generated from the mode of goodness. The yogi attains the power of mystic acquisition, by which he becomes the proprietor of the senses of all living entities. He obtains such perfections because his mind is absorbed in me. One who concentrates all mental activities in me as the supersoul of that phase of the Mahatattva which manifests the chain of fruit of activities obtains from me, whose appearance is beyond material perception, the most excellent mystic perfection called Prakamya. 5, right? One who places his consciousness on Vishnu, the Supersoul, the prime mover and supreme lord of the external energy, constituting of the three modes, obtains the mystic perfection of controlling other conditioned souls, their material bodies, and their bodily designations. 6, the yogi who places his mind in my form of Narayana, known as the fourth factor, full of all opulences, become endowed with my nature, and thus obtains the mystic perfection called Vasita. 7, one who fixes his pure mind on me in my manifestation as the impersonal Brahman attains the highest, greatest happiness wherein all his desires are completely fulfilled. 8. Right? So that's where it goes. It all is in connection with Krishna. So the point is absorb yourself in Krishna. Then these, because the pure devotees are always absorbed in Krishna, these 8 mystic cities are there for them to use, though they aren't interested. Right? What's his name? Not Kavi Karnapur. Means that's the excellent example also. They use it just to get the devotee to be quiet. not Kavi Karnapur. Krishna Karinamrita. Bilva Mangal Thakur. That he's making the point that all these, you know, cities, everything is all waiting there with folded hands to render service. Yeah, so they're all there. But they're not interested. You know, just like all the trees in Vrindavan, they're called the Riksha trees. So anything you can gain from them, but they only go and pick fruit and flowers from them. Right? And the cows are Kamadhenus, they only take milk. Because they're only interested in pleasing Krishna, serving Krishna. So in human pastimes, what you'll do with all this? Right? Krishna uses them, but in the context of the human pastimes. Right? Does that make sense? Like, so much rain is coming, the yogi is there, what would he do? Right? Stop the rain, move the clouds, you know, toss Indra to the other side of the universe, you know, something. Right? You know, because if you take him out to where, you know, that golden area, and he falls down over there, his crown will fall off, and now it's golden, he can't see, so he'd be spending so much time looking for it that, you know, the rain will stop. Right? But what does Krishna do? When it rains, you put up an umbrella. So he put up an umbrella big enough for the residents of Vrindavan. So you see the mystic, but it's in the context of the human pastimes. So that's the, Krishna uses it like that. It just enhances. While for the yogi, because his idea is to control and enjoy, it doesn't take on that human form. Because these powers means then you're beyond the human form. Does that make sense? So they'll use it in that way. But Krishna always sticks to using them like a human being. And only because it enhances the pastimes with his devotees. Right? He expands so he's, you know, 16,108 gopis, he expands so that he's dancing with each one of them. Or the cowherd boys are all sitting in circles around Krishna, right? When you sit down, you face one direction. Right? So basically up to 180 degrees, they can kind of see your face. One's behind you, the other 180 can't see you. And then the ones that are farther back, you know, they'll see, you know, less. But each cowherd boy thinks he's sitting right in front of Krishna, facing Krishna and interacting with Krishna. Right? So that's the thing. Krishna uses but just because they enhance the pastime and the rasa with the devotees. Well, for us, we think of these things that, you know, that's the last thing that comes to mind. Right?
So now it seems that in the presentation of the 8 CD, nothing is connected to serve Krishna.
No, it's just meditating on Krishna, because yoga is meditation. But the point is then you come to practical service. That's why you see smarana isn't actually the main one, right? It's hearing and chanting.
Yes.
Right? Because you hear and chant, you remember. Because you remember, you hear and chant.
Yes.
So the point is, you remember Krishna. But then what do you do having remembered Krishna? Then you'll serve.
Yes, yes.
Right? So you always want to remember Krishna as opposed to remembering something else. But the point is then you'll practically apply that.
Yes, yes.
Like that. Otherwise, if you just meditate on the Lord constantly, only like that, and that's all, that'll be the Shantaras.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they meet Krishna, then that's very nice. But if they don't, they're all already absorbed in Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, they don't have any difficulty not being where Krishna is, because everything is Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So when they come in contact with the personal form of Krishna, they're very happy, because that's where everything comes from. But at the same time, they're already meditating upon it. Like that. But you see, when there's that sense of possession, then they take up doing some practical service. Like that. And so then that's a higher position.
So,
the 10 secondary cities listed in verses 6 through 7, arising from the mode of material goodness, and the ways to attain them through specific meditations are now described. Sri Krishna continued, "A human being who concentrates on me, as the upholder of religious principles, the personification of purity, and the Lord of Svetadvip, attains a pure existence in which he is freed from the 6 waves of material disturbance. Namely, hunger, thirst, decay, death, grief, and illusion." So it comes about by absorbing yourself in Krishna. Right? So now when we get to the price, yeah. We're already doing this. That's the whole point. We're already discussing all these points, remembering Krishna. So it's already going on. The process is going on. But we're not interested in the cities.
Yes.
We're interested in pure bhakti. Right? One. "That purified living entity who fixes his mind on the extraordinary sound vibrations occurring within me as a personified sky and total life air is then able to perceive within the sky and the speaking of all living entities." Oh, okay, within the sky, the speaking of all living entities, because all sound is in the ether. And so they focus on Krishna's ether, then they can hear everything and whatever's going on. 2. "Merging one's sight into the sun planet, and then the sun planet into one's eyes, one should meditate on me existing within the combination of sun and vision. Thus one acquires the power to see any distant thing. 3. "The yogi who completely absorbs his mind in me, and who then makes use of the wind that follows the mind to absorb the material body in me, obtains through the potency of meditation on me the mystic perfection by which his body immediately follows his mind wherever it goes." Right? So then, wherever you think of, the mind goes there, the body follows. Right? That's the mechanics of how it's working. It's not just, oh, they just, you know, like that. It's actually, the mind goes, the body follows. Right? That you have to be completely absorbed in Krishna. Right? "When the yogi, applying his mind in a certain way, desires to assume a particular form, that very form immediately appears. Such perfection is possible by absorbing the mind in the shelter of my inconceivable mystic potency, by which I assume innumerable forms." Okay, so how he's always, you know, his expansion, his unlimited avatars, then by that quality that Krishna has, then one can assume any form. "When a perfect yogi desires to enter another's body, he should meditate upon himself within the other body, and then, giving up his own gross body, he should enter the other's body through the pathways of air, as easily as a bee leaves one flower and flies into another." Right? It doesn't say what happens to the other person there. But it's like... The yogi who has achieved the mystic perfection called Sva Chanda Mrityu blocks the anus with the heel of the foot and then lifts the soul from the heart to the chest, to the neck, and finally to the head. Situated within the Brahmarandra, the yogi then gives up his material body and guides the spirit soul to the selected destination. Seven. Right? So that's not, no, you just go on partying and don't die when you want. You have to be sitting in this asan to do that. The yogi who desires to enjoy in the pleasure gardens of the demigods should meditate on the purified mode of goodness, which is situated within me. And then the heavenly women, generated from the mode of goodness, will approach him in airplanes. Not as easy as it sounds. Purified mode of goodness, right? Which is situated in him. That's the Vishuddha Sattva. Does that make sense? So in other words, you're doing all the things that would situate you in Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. And then you take something less.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right?
Stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid. That's the whole problem. Eight. A yogi who has faith in me, absorbing his mind in me, and knowing that my purpose is always fulfilled, will always achieve his purpose by the very means he has determined to follow. Nine. A person who perfectly meditates on me acquires my nature of being the supreme ruler and controller. His order, like mine, can never be frustrated by any means. 10. Okay. Yeah, because all these cities are in Krishna. Therefore, then, by meditating on all these things in connection with Krishna, then one can gain them. But all that time that you're meditating on these, you could be doing practical service. Mm-hmm. Then coming to the platform of pure devotion, where then you're not interested in these. Mm-hmm. And then one in pure devotion is automatically absorbing himself, so whatever, however he's absorbed in Krishna, all those perfections are there. Mm-hmm. So we see as many of these qualities are there in the great Vaishnavas. Mm-hmm. But for them, they're just doing service to Krishna. These come on their own. Right, just to serve. The five perfections of the mystic process of yoga and meditation listed in verse 8 and the means by which to attain said perfections are now described. Sri Krishna continued. A yogi who has purified his existence by devotion to me and who thus actually knows the process of meditation attains knowledge of past, present, and future. He can therefore see the birth and death of himself and others. Just as the bodies of aquatics cannot be injured by water, similarly the body of a yogi whose consciousness is pacified by devotion to me and who is fully developed in yoga science cannot be injured by fire, sun, water, poison, and so forth. Right? You see, like Prahlad Maharaj, he's unaffected. What is he doing? He's just remembering Krishna. So he's not doing it as a yoga process. Right, or as a mystic perfection. He's just absorbed in Krishna as a pure devotee. Because of that, you see, then these things happen. My devotee becomes unconquerable by meditating on my opulent incarnations, which are decorated with Srivatsa and various weapons, and are endowed with imperial paraphernalia, such as flags, ornamental umbrellas, and fans. A learned devotee who worships me through yoga meditation certainly obtains in all respects the mystic perfections that I have described. For a sage who has conquered his senses, breathing, and mind, who is self-controlled and always absorbed in meditation on me, what mystic perfection could possibly be difficult to achieve? Mm-hmm. Srila Sridhar Swami comments. Lord Krishna here expresses that there is no need to practice many different processes. For by completely carrying out even one of the above-mentioned processes, one controls one's senses, becomes absorbed in him, and thus achieves all mystic perfections. You don't have to do all 18 to get 18. You just have to do one. But one of them means fully absorbed in Krishna. And if you're fully absorbed in Krishna, the mystic cities will come. But for someone fully absorbed in Krishna, they're not interested in those mystic cities. Mm. So that means someone who takes the mystic perfections means they give up being absorbed in Krishna. While the devotees, even they have those cities, they don't give up thinking about Krishna. So they're not focused on them. It's not important to them.
So, yeah. Only a person who is not a devotee can aspire to develop this mystic layer.
Yeah, like that. Only they would do, because when they get, then they would stop the meditation. So they're constantly meditating until they get, but once they get, they'd stop. Yeah, but the devotee, because he always meditates on Krishna, therefore they don't stop, and even the mystic cities are there. They're absorbed in Krishna, so they wouldn't even be worried about them. Even they have them. What's going to be the point? Just like, could you imagine, okay, you are fanning the Lord, you know, during a festival, okay? Now, of what use to you is anima or lagima or, what do you call it, or mahima, right? In other words, you go smaller than the smallest, the chamra is bigger than you. You go bigger than the biggest, you won't even fit into the room. You know, and if you go lighter than the lightest, then the chamra is heavier than you, so when you swing it like this, you go flying with it. You know, so. You know what I'm saying? So there's no point. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Vasita seems to be interesting. Hmm? Like not affected by three modes.
Yeah, not affected by three modes. I mean, even the one, okay, you meditate upon the Lord, you get that, you know, about his attractive feature, and then all the, the heavenly girls come flying to you in an airplane. How would that work out for the brahmachari, right? Is that going to go down well? Is this temple commander going to appreciate that? No, right? You know, what's that? You know, like that, unless they're going to come and cook or something, you know, like that. Grihastha, is his wife going to appreciate that? No, right? Vanaprastha, same problem. Sannyasi, same problem. So therefore, how are you going to use it?
So the only one we can use is hunger and thirst.
Hunger and thirst, yeah. But that's by being absorbed in Krishna. You forget. The Goswami, like you hear, the Goswamis, they'd be sitting at night talking and that, and sometimes they completely forget about sleeping or like that. You know, Raghunath Das Goswami is so absorbed he doesn't think, you know. So they may come in the form, the activities go on. Like that. So that's what we're saying, is the pure devotees have these cities, but they don't contemplate them as separate things. They're just serving Krishna, and just by nature, these, whenever they get the opportunity, they serve. You know? And they're not noticing when it's serving, or, you know, when are they going to serve? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, you can't have your cake and eat it. So you're absorbed in Krishna, which is better than these cities. Right? Because what's the problem? Okay, you get hungry, take prasad. Right? And the prasad is Krishna. Krishna tasted it, that's why it's so ecstatic. Right? It means you have that whole pastime with Bhimala Devi. Right? Is that, you know, Narada's dancing so ecstatically, and his brother asks him, what's going on? Why are you dancing? Because I took prasad. Do you have anything? And he had some little bit and he gave, like that. And then he takes, and he's dancing in ecstasy and all that. You know, and then Shiva's wife sees him, and why are you dancing? Because I took prasad. So where's the prasad? You know, like that. You'd save for me, of course, right? Yeah. No. So then she went to Vishnu, and then he says, "Okay, you know, after every offering, it'll come to you first. Only after it being offered to you, then it'll be called prasad. Then it goes out to the Ananda Bazaar." Like that. So, yeah, so that's all about prasad. So when we, you know, the hair standing on end, we dancing in ecstasy and chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So that's the. So it's not a problem.
If one achieves that, they will not be interested in prasadam distribution.
They won't distribute prasad, they want to, yeah, like this. Sri Krishna continued, "Learned experts in devotional service state that the mystic perfections of yoga that I have mentioned are actually impediments and are a waste of time for one who is practicing the supreme yoga, by which one achieves all perfection in life directly from me." Right, so that's the whole point. Those learned experts in devotional service, they state these are just a distraction. They're impediments. Mm-hmm. Because if you work so hard to get it, then you'll want to have to engage it. And then you have to engage that when something else could be going on. right? You know, it's just like it's time to, you know, distribute shot at the feast, like that. But you're, you know, you have the mystic city of not getting hungry, you know. So, yeah. Whatever mystic perfections can be achieved by good birth, herbs, austerities, and mantras can all be achieved by devotional service to me. Indeed, one cannot achieve the actual perfection of yoga by any other means, right? Because you see, it's only devotional service you get these things, right? So, therefore, it's only through devotional service, so why not do the devotional service to get devotional service? You know what I'm saying? That's like, let's say someone's in London, okay? And they're doing some work, and that work will, let's say, get them £1,000 a week. Okay? Okay? Is that all right? And so, but you've done the work, then you can get the £1,000, but instead you take 1,000 rupees. Yeah. Or let's say, not wanting to upset anybody, but 1,000 lira. I think you have to use millions of liras to buy stuff. Yeah. Even though they said they'll take the zeros off, but the Italians, no, this is our thing. Right? You know, what someone's telling me, I think in Poland, we went and bought something. I think it was a Walkman, you know? So they're not that expensive. But I remember it cost 1.5 million zlotys. Like that. And then afterwards, then a couple of years later, they cut off all the zeros, you know. It's now, you know, it's like, yeah. And then, but one devotee was talking about, but it was so nice before. It's like you feel like you're really buying 1 million zlotys, right? You're going out and you're buying something. You feel really good, you know. Yeah, so. So is that a good exchange? No, so that's what the learned experts in devotional service state. He says, that's what you're doing. And so it becomes an impediment. Not only are you getting less, but it'll distract you from devotional service. Yes. And it says, whatever mystic perfection achieved by good birth, also mentions herbs, right? Austerities and mantras, right? Indeed, one cannot achieve the actual perfection of yoga by any other means. My dear Uddhava, I am the cause, the protector, and the lord of all mystic perfections, of the yoga system, of analytical knowledge, of pure activity, and of the community of learned Vedic teachers. Right? He is the cause and protector of all these things. So therefore, you worship him. The benefit of any of that is gained by that service to him. Right?
The major drawback of achieving the siddhis is that one will feel that I'm more the controller than enjoyer.
Yes. That's the problem with anything. Anything that's good, then you feel that I'm special. So that's why the aspect of akinchan and gochar, they don't identify with anything. They don't feel that they're the possessor of anything. And so therefore then that becomes very dear to Krishna, because then it's only Krishna is what you consider possession. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, since all cities are achieved by meditation on me, I alone am the cause of those cities. Not only am I the cause of the cities, I am the maintainer of those cities, and the master of them as well. I am the cause, maintainer, and master not only of the cities, but also of yoga, in which there is meditation upon me. I am also the cause of jnana, sankhyasya, and the cause of nishkam karma, dharma, which produces jnana. Right? So all the process of karma, jnana, and yoga, all this Krishna is the cause of, the maintainer of, and the goal of, the master of, all these things. So, but just by worshipping him, then everything is perfect. Sri Krishna concluded, just as the same material elements exist within and outside of all material bodies, similarly, I cannot be covered by anything else. I exist within everything as the super soul, and outside of everything in my all-pervading feature. Right, so he can't be covered by anything because he's unlimited. You know, and he exists within, but he's not covered. He himself expands. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, I am the object of meditation for the yogis and jnanis. I am the antaryami. One may question, If you are within everything, are you divided up into pieces? To which the Lord answers, no, I am also spread everywhere outside, because I cannot be enclosed. An example is given. Just as the five gross elements exist inside and outside of the four types of living entities, I exist inside and outside of every living being. Right? So the five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, all bodies are made of that. So all the four bodies of the four types of living entities, right? Those born from the womb, from eggs, from sweat, and from, you know, how you say, seeds and slips and like that. It means cuttings, right? Plants, they go from seeds or from cuttings or from, you know, something like that. Any of these four kinds of living entities, because all living entities fit into these four. And so, therefore, then, they are not, how you say, just as earth, water, fire, air, and ether exist both with inside them and at the same time simultaneously is outside them, he is the same. Yes? No? Yeah, okay. Conclusion. All mystic perfections can be achieved simply by devotional service to Krishna. These cities, which appear in the yogi who concentrates his mind, are generally obstacles. They are described in order to show that one should reject them and concentrate on the Supreme Lord. So that's that and I think ill-motivated Dhritarashtra, the two shortest chapters in the Bhagavad, at least that we've come across so far. Right? Which one?
Description of autumn, I think, is quite
short. Description of autumn? I think it's very big. A lot of verses.
There was one very short
chapter. Okay, there was one other very short chapter. Okay. Chapter 16, the Lord's opulence. Pratigya. Whatever opulence there may be, it is simply an expansion of Krishna's opulence. The 40 means from verse 40.
Yes.
Chapter 16 summarizes questions and answers. Sri Uddhava asked Sri Krishna question 11.23 of Srimad Bhagavatam from 11.16, 3 and 5. Please tell me of the perfections that great sages achieve by worshipping you with devotion. Also kindly explain which of your different forms they worship. O supremely potent Lord, please explain to me your innumerable potencies, which you manifest on the earth, in heaven, in hell, and indeed in all directions. I offer my humble obeisances at your lotus feet, which are the shelter of all holy places. Sri Krishna answers this chapter throughout the rest, answers this question throughout the rest of the chapter. Adhyaya Prakashika. Answers this chapter through the rest of the question. Adhyaya Prakashika. The 16th chapter describes those objects called vibhutis because of their influence, knowledge, or energy. Sardarta Darshani 11.16.1. Right, so he's saying these three categories because there's unlimited. Like in Gita also, Krishna, there's three chapters on this and that they're taking different aspects. Just like this, right? So it seems to be also part of the Gita explanation. Sri Uddhava offered glorification to Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, an ultimate shelter of all holy places, saying, the Supreme Lord has no beginning and no end. He is the cause of birth, maintenance, and destruction of all living entities. He is the soul of all beings, and by secretly taking up residence within all living bodies, he sees everything. The conditioned souls, on the other hand, are bewildered by his external energy and thus are unable to see him. After offering such prayers at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Sri Uddhava revealed his desire to know about the Lord's various opulences in heaven, on earth, in hell, and in all directions. Lord Sri Krishna then described all these opulences, after which he commented that all power, beauty, fame, opulence, humility, charity, charm, good fortune, valor, tolerance, and wisdom, wherever they are manifest, are simply expansions from himself. It therefore cannot be truthfully said that a material object actually possesses these opulences. That is Krishna's potency within them. Such conceptions are the results of mentally combining two ideas to produce an object that exists only in the imagination. such as a sky flower. Material opulences are not substantially true, and therefore one should not become too involved in meditating upon them. Right? Because what's true about them is that Krishna, they're Krishna's potencies. So seeing them separate from Krishna, thinking the item itself has that, then we're missing the point. No, it's one of Krishna's potencies. The pure devotees of the Supreme Lord utilize their intelligence to properly regulate the activities of their speech, mind, and vital force, and thus perfect their existence in Krishna consciousness. Shloka Anusharanam, summary of verses. Verses 1 to 44, the opulence of the absolutes. Okay, verse 1. Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Lord, you are beginningless and endless, the absolute truth himself, unlimited by anything else. You are the protector and life giver, the destruction and creation of all things that exist. My Lord, although it is difficult for the impious to understand that you are situated in all superior and inferior creations, those Brahmins who are actually knowers of the Veda conclusion worship you in truth. Please tell me of the perfections that great sages achieve by worshiping you with devotion. Also, kindly explain which of your different forms they worship." "O my Lord, maintainer of all, although you are the supersoul of the living entities, you remain hidden. Thus, being bewildered by you, the living entities cannot see you, although you are seeing them. O supremely potent Lord, please explain to me your unlimited potencies, which you manifest on the earth, in heaven, in hell, and indeed in all directions. I offer my humble obeisances at your lotus feet, which are the shelter of all holy places." Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, "The Lord said in the previous chapter, 'I am the cause, the protector, and master of all cities, of the yoga system, of jnana, dharma, and the searchers of Brahman.'" Srimad Bhagavatam 11.15.3. "Thus all powers arise from the Lord. Having heard that, Uddhava became curious about the various material and spiritual places where the Lord exhibits his powers. He first explains how the Lord is the shelter of everything. You are superior to Brahman because you are Bhagavan. And you, Krishna, are Swayam Bhagavan, Sakshat." Right? So, any form of the Lord is superior to Brahman because of the personal nature. And then Krishna, he is Swayam Bhagavan. He's Sakshat. He's the source of Vishnu. "Though you have a limited form, human form as Krishna, you pervade all time and space, being without beginning or end, and unrestrained by anything. Vishnu, the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of the universe, is your amsha. Thus it can be said that you are the protection from disaster, the maintainer of life, the destruction and creation for all beings in existence." Uddhava asked about the Lord's vibhutis in order to carry out worship of the Lord more effectively than worshiping everywhere, right? Because Krishna is in everything, everywhere. Everything is there. But then to know the vibhutis means the outstanding qualities. So then you can, focus on specific places rather than just everywhere. Because these vibhutis are in, you can find them in all places. So then you focus just on that. So that makes sense. Yeah. "By this, the great sages..." So you're not saying don't SAG. Screen Actors Guild. You're not talking about that. No? Oh, okay. So they don't attain perfection by meditation upon the Lord? No? They could, but they're not. Aha. Uddhava requests, "You yourself should reveal your hidden vibhutis. These vibhutis are made realizable by you," right? Because he is everything and everywhere, but they're realized by Krishna's mercy, that you can actually find the vibhuti there. So if you're surrendered to Krishna, then you'll see them. Right? "Please explain them and make me realize them." Spiritual portions of the Lord who is fully spiritual are called amshas. Those portions which are material are called vibhutis. Right, so then on the spiritual platform, those are umshas, because they have that full. And then the material is vibhutis, it's an opulence. Because it's not Krishna personally, it's just an opulence of his Brahman, how he pervades everything everywhere. Right? That is the usual meaning. Here, however, the word vibhuti refers to both spiritual and material powers. It will be seen in the text that the best of all material and spiritual things will be described. So Krishna is also showing how his opulences are spread throughout the spiritual world also. Right, because generally you take it, if these qualities are manifest and full, that's a umsa of the Lord, or, you know, how you say, one of his incarnations, right? With that. But at the same time as then within the material world, it's not him personally, it's only through his energies. So then you're seeing there. Right? But in the Amsha, it's also he's manifesting his energies. So that's why you see, but they're coming from him personally. But now you want to see is how also in the spiritual world, his energies, his glory, his potencies are manifest through everything. So, yeah. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O best of those who know how to inquire, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna, desiring to fight with his rivals, asked me the same question that you are now proposing. Right? So even more direct connection with the other Gita. Right? On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna thought that killing his relatives would be an abominable irreligious activity, motivated only by his desire to acquire a kingdom. He therefore desisted from the battle, thinking, I would be the killer of my relatives. They would be destroyed. End quote. Thus Arjuna was afflicted with mundane consciousness. Right? Because he thinks that he's the one that's doing it. He's actually the killer. He's the doer like this. At that time, I enlightened Arjuna, the tiger among men, with logical arguments. And thus, in the front of the battle, Arjuna addressed me with questions in the same way you are now inquiring. Sri Krishna continued, My dear Uddhava, I am the supersoul of all living entities, and therefore I am naturally their well-wisher and supreme controller, being the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of all entities. I am not different from them. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravartitaka points out that in verse 9, Krishna describes the vibhutis in general. And then from verse 10, he describes the particular vibhutis. As vibhutis, he describes the outstanding among material and spiritual objects. The genitive case is sometimes used to indicate that the Lord is the best among a group, e.g., I am time among controllers. And sometimes used to indicate a relationship of possession. Example, I am the result for the karmis and jnanis. The word I is used with the vibhutis in nominative or accusative case to indicate sameness or identity. I am the result to be achieved, gati, for persons having goals like karmis and jnanis. I am time amongst those things that control. I am prakriti, shamyam, among the gunas. I am the natural quality in a substance. For instance, I am sound in ether. Right, because ether, this special quality is sound, because without sound, then what would be the point of the ether? Right? So, verses 10 to 36 list the Lord's opulences in a similar way to the list given in Bhagavad Gita 7, 8 through 12, and 10, 21 through 39. We will label some of the parallel verses. Sri Krishna continued, I am the ultimate goal of all those seeking progress. Right? It means it's put into these cases so that you know it's him, but it's also his energy. Right? So you can tell that there's a difference. Like that. Okay, he enters everything, he is everything, but he's a person still beyond. So the Acharya then points out these different cases just to show that there's an identity with, but at the same time they're different from. I am the ultimate goal of all those seeking progress. And I am time amongst those who exert control. Right? So you see is that, those who want to make progress, then they make goals. You know, so goal orientation, all these kinds of things like that. Or I am time amongst those who exert control. So they want to be able to control time. Then they'll get something done. Right? So you see, the more someone's a controller, the more they are interested in time. Right? They go together. I am the equilibrium of the modes of material nature. Right? Because that balance, that's their potency. Then out of balance, then they get whatever else. And I am natural virtue among the pious. Among things possessing qualities, I am the primary manifestation of nature. Right? Because you have a quality, then you have the primary aspect that is always going to be there. Then secondary aspects come and go. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like that. Yeah. And among great things, I am the total material creation. Right? You're not going to get really any greater than that one. Right? Mm-hmm. Among subtle things, I am the spirit soul. And of things that are difficult to conquer, I am the mind. Mm-hmm. Among the Vedas, I am their original teacher, Lord Brahma. And of all mantras, I am the three-lettered Omkara. So that's from 1025. Among letters, I am the first letter A. That's from 1033. Right? Because the A is Krishna, U is, I'm not sure if it's an internal potency, M is the living entities. Like yes. That.
M is the jiva.
Jesus, yes, okay. Then. 1033. And among sacred meters, I am the Gayatri Mantra. It's also in 1035. Among the demigods, I am Indra, 1022. And among the Vasus, I am Agni, the god of fire. I am Vishnu among the sons of Aditi, 1021. And among the Rudras, I am Lord Shiva, 1023. Right? Because these are all the main of all these. Right? Because you have the 12 Adityas, but Vamanadev, you know, being Vishnu, he's the main. Mm-hmm. Like that. Among saintly Brahmins, I am Bhrigu Muni, and I am Manu among saintly kings. I am Narad Muni among saintly demigods, and I am Kamadenu among cows. I am Lord Kapila among perfected beings, 1026, and Garuda among birds, 1030. I am Daksha among the progenitors of mankind, and I am Aryama among the forefathers. My dear Uddhava, among the demoniac sons of Diti, know me to be Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly lord of the Asuras, 1030. Among the stars and herbs, I am their lord, Chandra, the moon. Ten twenty-one. And among Yakshas and Rakshasas, I am the lord of wealth, Kuvera, 1023. I am Airavata among lordly elephants, 1027. And among aquatics, I am Varuna, 1029. Right, so he said all these to Arjuna, that's why he refers. Because these are his main opulences. So then we see again, so many then are then repeated, and then some other ones are also mentioned. The Lord of, I am Varuna, and among aquatics, I am Varuna, 1029. The Lord of the seas. Among all things that heat and illuminate, I am the sun. And among human beings, I am the king. Among horses, I am Uchaishrava. Footnote 30. Uchaishrava was produced during the churning of the ocean of milk. So he's a horse that just runs wild in the universe. Mm-hmm. No one controls him. You know, so.
Bali Maharaj took possession of him.
Oh, okay. That was before, after, during? Yes, okay. 1027. And I am gold among metals, right? So that's why it's the most attractive. Mm-hmm. So even though platinum is there, but still it looks like silver, so gold is always going to be the main one. Right? I am Yamaraj among those who suppress and punish, 1029. And among serpents, I am Vasuki, 1028. O sinless Uddhava, among the best of snakes, I am Anantadev, 1029. Right? So amongst them, then he's Vasuki, but among the best of them, he's Ananta. Because Ananta is actually the eldest brother. He's the senior most. Then Vasuki. So Vasuki manages the family, Anantadev kind of stays out of the way.
Seems that there is some difference between snakes and serpents.
Not necessarily. like that. It's just different position, because you could even take within one group then get so many like that. But yeah. And among those animals with sharp horns and teeth, I am the lion. 10:30. Among the social orders, I am the fourth, or the renounced order of life. And among the occupational divisions, I am the first, the brahmanas. Right? It's interesting that the varnas start from brahmins and go down, while the ashrams start with the brahmachari and go up. Right? You know, because that's the... Yeah. Among sacred and flowing things, I am the holy Ganges. 10:31. And among steady bodies of water, I am the ocean. 10:24. Among weapons, I am the bow, and of the wielder's weapons, I am Lord Shiva. Footnote 31. Bhagavad Gita 10:28 lists the weapons as weapon as thunderbolt. 31 lists the wielder of weapons as Rama. Because all of these, that's what we mean. Within one, they're all so great, because it's Krishna's power that's happening there. But now let's say Shiva's famous because he as Tripurari, right? He destroyed that, and he did that with his bow. So then so that potency, that's actually Krishna. Same time, Rama then is also is seen. He's very great. That can be Lord Ramachandra. It can also be Parasuram, right? Because he also has that bow. But then when Parasuram called the bow in front of Lord Ramachandra, the bow went to Ramachandra. Then he understood. Oh, okay. Now we know who's boss. Right? Among residences, I am Mount Sumeru, and of impervious places, I am the Himalayas. Among trees, right? You know, who lives in the Himalayas? Right? Around the edges, yes, but you go right in. There's no one living there. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Among trees, I am the holy fig tree. 10:26. And among plants, I am those that bear grains. Among priests, I am Vashishta Muni, and among those highly situated in Vedic culture, I am Brihaspati. I am Kartikeya among military leaders, 10:24. And among those advancing in superior ways of life, I am the great personality, Lord Brahma. Yes. Because Brahma, he knows all the Vedas, so therefore then he practices all. So then he'll be the superior. Right? All opulences are Krishna. But in these places, then, you know, you'll see a greater manifestation. So it's easier then to meditate in these areas. And you see what he's covering covers a lot, you know, basically most everything we deal with. Among sacrifices, I am study of the Veda. And I am nonviolence among vows. Among all things that purify, I am the wind, fire, the sun, water, and speech. Among the eight progressive states of yoga, I am the final stage, samadhi, in which the soul is completely separated from illusion. Right. Because in speech also then, if you're speaking about transcendental subject matter, then that is, you know, the most powerful. So all these things, water we use, sun, fire, wind, we use all these for purification. Among those desiring victory, I am prudent political counsel. So not just doing whatever you like, that doesn't seem to work. And among processes of expert discrimination, I am the science of the soul. By which one distinguishes spirit from matter, as it mentions that's truth, is distinguishing matter from spirit. So that's the highest level of that. But you can see it's not necessarily the most attractive level of that. But, yeah. 10:32. Among all speculative philosophers, I am diversity of perception. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah? Among all speculative philosophers, I am diversity of perception. Okay. Amongst all of them, it's the diversity of perception. That's his potency. That's why they all come up with a different philosophy. Otherwise, they couldn't. Right? They'd all see the same thing, come up with the same thing. Yeah, yeah, I came up with that yesterday. Oh, well, what about that? No, the day before. What about this? No, I didn't come up with that. That's cool. That, then the other guy pipes up, no, I came up with that yesterday. Yeah, so then, yeah. So diversity of perception. Among ladies, I am Satarupa. And among male personalities, I am her husband, so I am Bhuvamanu. Okay. I am, because they'll be following perfectly all the rules, right? I am Narayan among the sages, and Sanat Kumar among the brahmacharis. Among religious principles, I am renunciation, and of all types of security, I am consciousness of the eternal soul within. Wow, somehow or another, that wouldn't list high, that wouldn't be high on the list, right? House, money, family, position, authority would be high, but it says here, of all types of security, I am consciousness of the eternal soul within. Because if you have that, then you're always secure, because you're situated in Krishna. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Yes, yes. Yes, it mentioned before, right? Is it all of the
diversity.
I am diversity of perception, right? Yeah. Of secrets, I am pleasant speech and silence. That kind of ruins all the gossip, right? Because that's 10:38. And among sexual pairs, I am Brahma. Among sexual pairs, I am Brahma. Yeah. Unless it means Brahma and his wife or something. Yeah, I'm not sure. Let's see what the Sanskrit says. Among the vigilant cycles of time, I am the year. And among seasons, I am spring. Among months, I am Amargashirsha. That's the winter. 10:35. And among lunar houses, I am the auspicious Abhijit. That's the middle of the day. Among sages, I am the Satyuga. All ages. The age of truth. And among steady sages, I am Devala and Asita. Right? So then if they're steady, when they say it's true, then like Arjuna's quoting them, it's good authority. Among those who have divided the Vedas, I am Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. Right? Because he's Vishnu Tattva. Other Vyasadevs are not. They're generally always a Jiva. But in this one, when Swayam Krishna comes, then he comes himself as Vyas. Yeah. And among learned scholars, I am Sukracharya, the knower of spiritual science. Right? Because then after that yajna with Bali Maharaj, then Krishna goes back to him, or Vamanadeva goes back to him and says, well, what is actually the fault? You found fault. He says, actually, no fault. You know, it's just, I knew they would lose everything and I was just trying to protect them. You know, it's just like, you know, the father tries to protect the son. But as far as actual benefit, you know, there's nothing better than the spiritual. Because, you know, being a demon, he was interested in the material. And then he loses all the material, then what? So he didn't, you know, expect, he would surrender. But then by surrendering, then he attains the highest perfection.
What is the position of Brihaspati?
He before was of what was it? Those situated in Vedic culture, I am Brihaspati. So he's giving that. Doesn't mean he doesn't know it, but he's outstanding for this. And Sukracharya is outstanding for this one. Just unfortunately, the guys he hangs out with aren't always absorbed. But we do see Rishabharva, who's the head of the, I think, the is he Daityas or Dhanavas? He's the head of one of the groups, the king. And he's a devotee. But, he's mentioned in some other ways, you know, previously it was mentioned. So some do take it. Among those entitled to the name Bhagavan, I am Vasudeva. And indeed you, Uddhava, represent me among the devotees. Because he's, you know, the outstanding devotee. And in Vaikuntha, he's the most outstanding devotee. I am Hanuman among the Kimpurushas. And among the Vidyadharas, I am Sudarshana. Among jewels, I am the ruby. That's why it's more expensive. Okay. And among beautiful things, I am the lotus cup. Among all types of... Yeah, so not one of these tennis or cricket cups, right? It's the lotus cup. Among all types of grass, I am the sacred kusha. And of oblations, I am ghee, and other ingredients obtained from the cow. Among the enterprising, I am fortune. And among the cheaters, I am gambling. 10:36. I am the forgiveness of the tolerance and the good qualities of those in the mode of goodness. Of the powerful, I am bodily and mental strength. 10:36. And I am the devotional activities of my devotees. My devotees worship me in 9 different forms, among which I am the original and primary Vasudeva. Right? Because he's there, and then there's all the expansions. Because then you have Mahanarayan, he's the original. Then from him you get all these others. Right? Or you can say you have Vasudeva, and then from there you get the Chaturvyuha, and then they expand, and this way you get 24. So Vasudeva is actually the main. Among the Gandharvas, I am Vishvavasu. Footnote 32. Bhagavad Gita 10:26 has Chitrarata listed instead of Vishvavasu. They are each regarded as the, quote, the king of the Gandharvas, end quote. In their respective pastimes described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Chitrarata was the Gandharva who fell from the sky while flying over the Brahmana's bones that were used to make the Narayana Kavacha mentioned in the 6th canto. In the 9th canto, it is described that he also distracted Renuka, the wife of Jamadagni, while sporting in the Ganges with some apsaras, which caused her to miss a fire sacrifice and subsequently to be killed by her son, Parasuram. But on Parasuram's appeal to his father, she was brought back to life. Vishvavasu is mentioned in the 3rd canto when Lord Brahma was expanding various forms, and he also fell from the sky upon seeing the beauty of Devahuti. Yeah, so I guess that's the literal meaning of he fell for her. The demigods literally do it. They just fall out of their airplanes. Right? Yeah, it's like that.
That's a real falling.
Yes, yes. In the 4th canto, when Prithu Mars was milking the earth planet, the Gandharvas made Vishvavasu into a calf in order to produce sweet musical art and beauty. And in the 7th canto, he's listed as the chief singer. In the 12th canto, he's listed as the Gandharva who accompanies the sun god in the month of Nabhas. Like that. So we see they're both are prominent. So each one. So here he's mentioning one, the other mentions the others, but here he said Vishvavasu. And I am Purvachiti among the heavenly apsaras. I am the steadiness of mountains. Doesn't Gita say Purvasi?
Purvasi.
But we don't have an explanation. No?
Okay. They're both beautiful.
Huh? Yes, it is. I am the steadiness of mountains and the fragrant aroma of the earth. 7:9. I am the taste of water. Oh, now we're going into all 7. See, before there was 10s. Yeah, no, before everything up to now is all 10th chapter. Okay, now he's mentioning... I am the sweet taste of water, 7:8. And among brilliant things, I am the sun. I am the effulgence of the sun, moon, and stars, 7:8. So you see, he's keeping in the same chapters. You know, the same grouping. Yeah. And among brilliant things, I am the sun. I am the effulgence of the sun, moon, and stars. And I am the transcendental sound that vibrates in the sky. That vibrates in the sky, yes. Among those dedicated to Brahminical culture, I am Bali Maharaj, the son of Yudhochana, and I am Arjuna among heroes. Indeed, I am the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of all living entities. I am the functions of the 5 working senses, the legs, speech, anus, hands, and sex organs, as well as those of the 5 knowledge-acquiring senses, touch, sight, taste, hearing, and smell. I am also... the potency by which the senses experiences its particular sense object. Right? So he's the senses of self. He's already mentioned he was the objects, but then the potency by which the senses experience the object, or the tanmatras, he's that also. So he's the potency that the sense can work, He's the object and he's the ability to perceive between the two. So in other words, he's the Adi Atmak, Adi Daivik, and Adi Bhautik. That kind of covers it. Sri Krishna continued, I am form, taste, aroma, touch, and sound. False ego, the Mahatattva, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, the living entity, material nature, the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, and the transcendental Lord. All these items, along with knowledge of their individual symptoms and the steady conviction that results from this knowledge, represents me. Right? So we see is that when, by studying these, you get that conviction, that steady conviction in, you know, being fixed in the Lord, that study of these represents me. So we see is that in the Bhagavatam, it goes through the analysis of all these, right? But in connection with Krishna, to create that steadiness and being fixed in Krishna. So then that represents Krishna. So it's not just analytical knowledge is analytical. No, it's specifically, it represents him because it gives that steady conviction. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, having indicated vibhutis by showing the best of a group or the key element in a relationship, again the Lord describes them all in general in 2.5 verses. The list of elements indicates the tanmatras. Aham is ahankara. Mahan is mahatattva. These 7 are the modifications of prakriti. Right, so you have prakriti, then you have mahan, aham, and the tanmatras. Right, so the form, taste, aroma, sound, touch, false ego, and mahatattva. Right, so that's all the transformations of the pradhan. Right, so that's the 7. So when it says the 7, then it's meaning these. Remember we had a question some chapters back and it mentioned the 7? So this is the 7. The transformations, vikara, refers to the 5 gross elements and the 11 senses. This makes 16. Right? Okay, the list of elements, then the transformation. This makes 16. Purusha refers to the jiva. Avyaktam is prakriti. The total is now 25 elements, it is said. Mula prakriti is unchanged. Transformations of prakriti are 7, mahatattva, ahankara, and 5 tanmatras, which further transform into 16, 5 gross elements and 11 senses. Prakriti remains separate and Purusha does not transform. Mm-hmm. Shankhya Karika by Ishwara Krishna.
It's Mula prakriti knowledge.
Mula prakriti, that's pradhan.
Pradhan.
Yeah. Okay, and last. I am also the gunas of prakriti known as Rajas, Tamas, and Sattva. And I am Brahman, Parama. I am everything, right? So basically, that's the essence. I am the knowledge of these enumerated elements and the result, determination of truth. Right? So you hear these things, from that you become fixed in the truth. That's also Krishna. So all this is Krishna. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Prema Nandini ki.